Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 22nd day of July, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And along the way, hear the latest thoughts from Daryl Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois, about the price of corn and a really big bumper crop. He seems to think the seasonals will turn this marketplace higher after the harvest time and run that through, well, the springtime, based on increasing demand. But that, of course, depends on how good the crops you happen to harvest might be. You want to listen to that one as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a production of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Checking now the Tuesday afternoon settlement prices from the CME Group in Chicago, where futures finished mostly lower for the day. September contract in the soft red winter wheat at $5.24.5, down 5.5 cents. December at $5.48.75, 5.5 lower. In July of next year at $6.15, down 4.25 cents. The hard red September at $6.21.25, down 6.75. September corn futures $3.60.25, down 3.75. December $3.68.25, 3.75 lower. And the March corn at $3.80.25, 3.5 cents lower. May futures $3.88.5, down 3.75. July at $3.96, down 3.75. And December of next year at $4.08.25. Down 3.75 as well. August soybeans, $11.84, the only real gainer for the day, up 8.25. September, $10.85, down 6.5 cents. November, $10.57.75, 13.75 lower. January futures at $10.65.75, down 14 cents. And the March at $10.73.75, the settlement price, 13.75 cents lower. July of next year at $10.88.75, down 13.5 cents. Bean meal, $1.10 higher. Bean oil, 21 cents lower. Live cattle futures for the day in the August at $155.95, up the $3 limit. October up $2.62.5 at $157.87.5. August feeders limit up at $2.16.25, and the lean hogs finished up $2.47.5 in the August at $127.57. This is Illinois Public Media.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Here's what the outside markets are trading like at this hour. August crude oil on its last tick at $104.42 a barrel, down 17 cents. Gasoline at the wholesale price, the RBOB, at $2.87.7, a penny and 3 cents lower. Ethanol futures up $2.09, or at $2.09, are up 0.01, or a tenth of a cent. And gasoline futures, or the spread between the two, is 78 7/10 cents wide. That's 2 4/10 cents narrower than yesterday. Natural gas at $3.78 3/10, down 6 7/10, and diesel fuel for the day at $2.85 3/10, just about 4 10 cents lower. Gold futures finished up at $1,306.30 a troy ounce. That's $7.60 lower, and the U.S. dollar at 80.78. is up 0.22 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area on this Friday afternoon. Mostly sunny skies on this Tuesday afternoon. Mostly sunny skies and a high of 90 degrees. South-southwest winds at about 13 miles an hour, gusting as high as 18. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms will come after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy and a low of 70 degrees. A south-southwest wind at 9 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, during the day, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 1 in the afternoon Central Time, partly sunny otherwise, and a high of 79. A Thursday, sunny skies and 77. Friday, sunny skies and 78. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
On this Tuesday afternoon, let's take a look at the marketplace with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. It is the 22nd day of July. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it appears that the trade is convinced a really large crop is continuing to get bigger. What are the prospects for the coming week in terms of price, do you think?
Well, you know, there's a couple things happened today with a half hour to go in the market, we seemed to hit some stops, and we did take that November bean and trade it down below the 1065 level that they thought was very solid support, and we closed, down at 57.5 there. So that's quite a bit under that, and it looks like that opens the gap to take us down another 10 or 15 cents that way. We also closed the Dease corn under 370, basically opening the gap down to 350. So, you know, it looks like as the weather forecasts stay good, why we're going to, have some real, sort of sideways to downward trade here. But one of the things that's sort of, puzzling to us is the Gulf corn basis was up 35 to 40 cents. And, that's $1.40 over down at the Gulf. And beans are up 10 cents at $1.40 to $1.80 over at the Gulf. So we're seeing some real strong demand for cash grain.
We have finally gotten to a level where I suppose buyers are in the marketplace. That usually would take place. I do want to go back and take a look at this November bean contract that you talked about and the push lower, because not only did it push lower, but it traded higher for the day. So it posted an outside down day after the gap lower last week. Did it fill the gap? Let's see. From Friday to Monday, maybe not. This was not a particularly good sign for futures in the bean pit.
No, it was breaking through some pretty strong support there that's held for the last three or four days. We went down, touched it, and bounced off it, and it seemed like it was a good stopping point. And basically, something happened that they run those stops. We saw an awful lot of trade. We think it was probably an algorithm thing that tripped it on a Newswire article, but we can't seem to find the one that actually did push it down on through there. But it was a lot of activity right there in about a 60-second time period that when they broke through that.
It is hard to stop a train when it is in motion to the downside, and sometimes in the trade that means that things go lower than they should. Will it bounce at some point?
We've got a long ways to go in a big August as far as weather's concerned for bean production. And as we look at things like that, we think that, not talking about a major rally, but maybe slowing this descent on down here sometime between now and the August 12th report, I think that we will see a little bit of, consolidation in there.
You think the corn and soybean ratio will come back into order at some point?
It's been around for so many years, you'd have to be really crazy to say that you were smarter than what the trade has been for, decades. But, it's staying wider than we think it should for right now, but I think it will come back into play.
And what does this mean for livestock producers now that we're down at these levels? Is it a time that a livestock producer or an end user of any sort might consider locking in either old or new crop supplies that they might need?
Well, I think, for an end user that's got something along the way, it's definitely not a bad time to at least look at some calls as to put this in and then see if they can get it bought better later. But, as we say, I think there's going to be very stubborn sellers. I don't think that farmers are going to be letting go of things as fast as you think they might, even this fall if they have storage for it. So, but having some sort of protection to the upside in case we would see any sort of weather disaster or what's going on, it's not a bad idea to lightly consider.
This is a place, and I'm wondering if you've been keeping track of local end users, that producers who have corn left in the bin might not be willing to get rid of it until they really have to, based on what's coming out of the field in the fall. Are end users, the ethanol plants, beginning to hunt at all for supplies to keep themselves running?
I think they've been okay up till now. I think that it's been more demand at the Gulf than local like that. But I think that farmers have pretty much shut the bin doors, and they're deciding to take their last summer vacation and do a few things now. So I think it would be a good time, even if they don't like the flat price here along the way is to be looking for some basis levels, as to maybe move it on a basis contract along the way. You know, as we're looking at those Gulf bases we looked at there, why, you know, it's going to be offering some pretty decent prices here right now if they're if we just subtract the freight to the Gulf off those.
What are conditions in the field like in your area?
I think the word's called ideal. You know, we've got moisture. We could use a little rain. It would be beneficial. But, you know, we are just having the weather, you know, looking to cool off the rest of this week. Just some of the best corn and beans we've ever seen in our area. I mean, we talked today to one farmer that belongs to a group that gets together with farmers from like 30 different states. The only place that was complaining about it was way too overwet was southwest Minnesota and northwest Iowa, and they were still suffering from quite a bit of excess moisture there. But other than that, everybody was very happy.
Thank you for taking the time with us today.
Bye.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the marketplace. You can always hear him again on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. Some of you trying to catch up with us on our phone system at 217-333-3434. And as you know, if you've called that over the last couple of weeks, we've been experiencing some problems. Those still persist. We have it somewhat fixed, but not completely. We had to change the voicemail over to a new mailbox, and rather than giving us 15 minutes to record, we only have three. We're working on some new details, and hopefully we'll come up with something, but I have yet really to find a solution to this problem. Dave and I are working hard on it, but in the meantime, if you can get to us on the website at willag.org, you can always find the programming up there. The time's posted, the times are up and on the website. Again, the address is willag.org. That's willag.org. All of our ag programming, from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that 56% of the corn crop now is silking. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 55%. Minnesota, by the way, which we normally have an update from, did not release one, and it's at 23%. That compares to 43%. Rather important to keep track of Minnesota. Nebraska, which is the third largest corn-producing state in the nation, is 62% silked. That compares to a rolling five-year average of 60%. Nationwide, 54% of the crop is said to be in good condition, excellent condition at 22. That's a combined 76% good to excellent and is the same as the previous week. Blooming for soybeans now set at 60% nationwide, 56% on the rolling five-year average, and 19% of the soybean crop is now setting pods. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 17%. This week, 57% of the crop is in good condition and 16% excellent. Last week was 56 and 16. Combined, those two are 1 percentage point better than they were last week. Now, here are updates from Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa.
This is Katie Andel, agricultural statistician for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office. Iowa experienced extreme temperatures this week with a high of 90 degrees at Sydney on Sunday the 13th and a low of 44 degrees at Stanley on Wednesday. Temperatures for the week averaged 7.8 degrees below normal. There were just a few isolated showers on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, with dry weather statewide the remainder of the week. Total rain for the week varied from nothing across one half of the state to 0.42 inches near Kalamazoo. Average precipitation for the week was 0.03, much less than the normal 1.02 inches. This was Iowa's driest reporting week since late November 2013. 59% of the corn acreage was silking, 11 days ahead of last year and 2 days ahead of the 5-year average. 77% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition. Blooming was evident in 67% of the soybean acreage, more than double the percent last year. With 19% of the soybean crop setting pods, 74% of the crop was rated in good to excellent condition. With 83% of the oat acreage having turned color, oat harvest reached 21% complete, 2 percentage points ahead of last year, but 17 percentage points behind normal. Unchanged from the previous week, 73% of the crop was rated in good to excellent condition. Overall stress on livestock was minimal, but pink eye was reported in some cattle due to wet conditions. This is Katie Andel reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Heartland Region, with the Illinois Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report. There were six days rated suitable for field work for the week ending July 20th. Precipitation statewide averaged 0.52 inches. That's 0.36 inches below normal. Average temperature for the week was 67.5 degrees, and that's 9.4 degrees below normal. Wheat harvest reached 95% complete. Corn silking reached 82%, ahead of the five-year average of 70%. Corn was rated with 81% in good to excellent condition. 69% of the soybeans were blooming, ahead of the five-year average of 55%. Soybeans were rated with 77% in good to excellent condition. Sorghum headed reached 29%, and oats headed reached 96% complete. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated with 9% short, 83% adequate, and 8% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies were rated with 1% very short, 14% short, 80% adequate, and 5% surplus. That's the Illinois Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending July 20th, 2014. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Heartland Region.
This is Glenn Goodrich with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending July 20th, 2014. In contrast to recent weeks, cool and dry weather this week gave farmers ample opportunity to conduct field work. Average temperatures ranged from 64 to 71 degrees, or 11 to 5 degrees below normal. The statewide average temperature for the week was 68.2 degrees, 7.3 degrees below normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.04 to 3.96 inches, with a statewide average of 1.05 inches. Farmers kept busy harvesting wheat, making hay, and spraying crops for weeds and pests. Corn silking was at 69%, versus last year's 56% and 61% five-year average. Soybeans blooming is at 70%, versus 52% last year and 54% five-year average. Soybean setting pods is at 32%, versus last year's 10% and 14% five-year average. Weeds are plentiful in some soybean fields that have yet to be sprayed. The winter wheat harvest is rolling to a close, and tractors planting double-crop soybeans continue to roll in after them. Winter wheat harvested is 92%, versus 92% last year and 97% five-year average. Although dry weather prompted some farmers to bring out the irrigation systems, this week's cool temperatures kept soils from drying as much as they might have otherwise. Soil moisture at all layers was still reported at 80% adequate or above. Other activities for this week included roadside mowing, equipment maintenance, and attending fairs. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending July 20th, 2014. This is Glenn Goodrich reporting.
Our thanks, of course, go to the statisticians from the National Agricultural Statistics Service for their weekly updates from the Corn Belt. Up next now, the price of corn may be too low at the moment, though that could change as the growing season progresses. I'll have more on the 2014 crop and how it might be falling into the old normal big crop seasonal pricing patterns. It used to be that bumper corn crop year price patterns were pretty predictable. The trade would overdo the downside during the growing season as it became anxious about where and how such a big crop would be used and stored. Usually the price pattern would bottom, come close to harvest, just before, during, or after. Then a slow climb from the price depths would follow because new demand would develop in response to the cheap price. The University of Illinois Ag Economist Darrell Good lays this all out in his July 21st FarmDoc Daily website post. Here's how Good sums it up.
If the corn crop reaches the lofty levels currently expected, the key to prices after harvest will be the response by users of corn. The low price of corn relative to livestock, relative to other feed ingredients, and relative to ethanol points to the potential for a surprisingly large consumption response. In that case, the seasonal pattern of corn prices during the upcoming marketing year would be expected to follow a more typical large crop pattern, that is, lowest near harvest and then increasing as the marketing year progresses.
Good mentioned the low price of corn when compared to other commodities, livestock, ethanol, and other feed ingredients, soybeans in this case. The trade calls those price ratios, and they have changed in the last 2 months.
The soybean-corn price ratio is of particular interest. In the July WASDE report, the USDA forecast 2014 marketing year-ending stocks at 13.5% of consumption. Similarly, marketing year-ending stocks of soybeans represented about 12% of consumption. On the surface, similar stock levels for corn and soybeans would suggest that the soybean-corn price ratio would be near a more normal level of about 2.4. based on harvest delivery cash bids in central Illinois, the current soybean corn price ratio is over 3. The declining and increasingly low price of corn relative to soybeans suggests that the market currently expects the marketing year ending stocks to use ratio for corn to be much higher than projected by the USDA.
Daryl Good, in a previous FarmDoc Daily Post, suggested even a yield about 5 bushels higher than forecast by USDA in the July WASD report, a trend line, would not point to average prices as low as currently reflected in the market. Therefore, he says the seasonal pattern of corn prices during the 14-15 marketing year may follow a more typical large crop pattern, lowest near harvest and then increasing as the marketing year progresses. The USDA's first survey-based forecast size of the U.S. corn crop, by the way, is to be released Tuesday, August 12th.
Support comes from Common Ground Food Co-op in downtown Urbana, with a deli featuring iced lattes made with fairly traded ingredients and local milk, and a salad bar filled with local and organic ingredients. More information is at commonground.coop. And from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more, slow-cooked over a wood-fired smoker. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July the 30th, farmers and others can come to the U of I's Palmer Amaranth Research Site. It's located about a half mile east of the intersection of County Roads 14,000 West and 3,000 North near Union Hill, Illinois. That's east of Dwight and west of Kankakee, about halfway between the two. The tour will provide an excellent opportunity for farmers, input suppliers, and members of the media to have a first-hand encounter with the Palmer Amaranth population thriving just a few miles south of Illinois' largest city, Chicago. The tour will feature 4 presentations by weed scientists that highlight the identification, biology, and management of Palmer Amaranth. Participants will receive a complimentary tour booklet that contains field research protocols and maps that will help guide them through the research plots. The tour will begin at 9 o'clock in the morning and conclude with a catered lunch around noon. Advanced registration is needed and can be accomplished by visiting the BearRespectTheRotation.com website. Again, that web address is all one word, BearRespectTheRotation.com, as in Bear, the company, B-A-Y-E-R. Everyone is welcome, and there is no fee to attend the tour. As you may have guessed by now, the University of Illinois Palmer Amaranth field research activities and tour are in collaboration with scientists and researchers from Bayer Crop Science. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Well, in just a couple of minutes, I'll return. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media and comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
On this day in agricultural history in 1822, Gregor Mendel was born. Mendel was an Austrian botanist whose work was the foundation of the science of genetics. Working mainly with garden peas, some 28,000 plants over 7 years, he discovered what was to become known as the laws of heredity. Mendel coined at least 2 present-day terms in genetics, recessiveness and dominance. In 1915, Sir Sanford Fleming died. He devised the present system of time zones while working for the Canadian Pacific Railway. In 1954, the Miller Pesticide Amendment was passed. It established procedures used by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to determine the maximum allowable pesticides that can remain on raw agricultural products for human consumption. The amendment stated no additive shall be deemed to be safe if it is found to induce cancer when ingested by man or animal, or if it is found after tests which are appropriate for the evaluation of safety of food additives to induce cancer in man or animals. And in 1993, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission approved final rules prohibiting the practice of dual trading by floor brokers unless an exemption is granted by the CFTC. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support for this market report comes from Country Financial, providing generations of Central Illinois farmers with crop hail insurance programs for individual producers, immediate family member, or tenant-landlord relationships. More information is available from your local Country Financial representative or at country-crop.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don Day from Day Weather is on the phone line to take a look at the weather forecast with us. Don, thanks for taking the time. We've got a little heat building into the Midwest. Tell me about it first, please.
Well, we are getting some heat after the big cool down of last week. However, when we look ahead, we see another push of cool air coming into the Corn Belt Midwest later this weekend and into early next week. It won't be as strong as the last one. But what it will do is keep our temperatures temperate, keeping them closer to normal once you average everything up. But this heat certainly welcomed. We'll get some growing degree days accumulated, but it will not be a prolonged spell of warmer weather. Some cooler weather will come back on in.
Will the cooler weather usher in rainfall too?
Yes. In fact, we should see some shower and thunderstorm activity increase later this week, the weekend, and into early next. It's a pattern that looks quite good, Todd. While we want to see a little more heat in the forecast, the frequency of rain over the next 10 days should keep most areas damp.
Are you confident that a good portion of the Corn Belt will continue to be under good growing conditions then over the next 2 weeks?
It really looks that way. With really any significant heat or dryness staying further west, and with these cool fronts coming in to help initiate shower and thunderstorm activity, I would say that growing conditions are looking good.
Are there any regions in the United States that you're concerned about at this time?
Well, we can keep talking about the California drought and those areas in the far west, the Pacific Northwest, that continue to be very dry. They're going to stay that way till this fall, although some of the new long-range charts that forecast fall and winter are continuing to indicate wetness returning into those areas of the country later this year. Also, some hot and dry areas in the southeast United States, they could use some rain. The forecast for there is a little bit better, but southeast is another dry area.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. A couple of items to bring you up to speed on. If you listen to our mobile analyst portal, our voicemail, our phone service at 217-333-3434, you're well aware we've been having some problems with it. It has to do with the move at the University of Illinois a couple of years ago to voice over IP or computer-generated phone service. Our analog phones here at the radio stations were kept online for a bit, and then recently those were moved as well. We did move our voice service to AT&T. The problem we now have is that we can't get that voicemail open to any lengthier time than 3 minutes. We're working on it. I just don't know what we'll be able to do about it, but wanted to let you know that it was still something we have in the back of our mind to fix, just haven't found a solution yet. You have a great afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. This has been the Closing Market Report.